listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mothers. My name's Matt Kay. With me is
Rye, the movie guy. How we doing, Matt?
Doing excellent.
That's good. Big week for us. Big news.
Big news. We're now going to be on Stranger Days Radio.
Stranger Days Radio, the SDR network.
Yeah, you can still find us everywhere else, but we're excited in this new partnership. I'm stoked, Rye.
So am I. Now we're on iTunes. You can get us on cinemajaw.com and now listen to us at strangerdaysradio.com.
And please do.
The theme of the show, top five best sequels of all time.
Yes, and the theme here is because we're bringing back our first repeat guest, the first sequel guest.
Right.
He's been here once before. We're happy to have him back. Mr. Charles Klein, we'll be introducing him later.
Yes, for sure. He's going to be joining us to do our... He's got his top five also.
Yep.
Favorite sequels.
This was supposed to be on 2-2, but we got delayed a week because I was in L.A.
Ooh, yeah. L.A. Trying to sell Cinema Jaw out there as well.
It was a business trip.
Yeah. So then we got some Hollywood headlines and some movie trivia, some DVD reviews. A really full week, so let's get right to it.
Action-packed.
All right, eye for an eye. Interested or ignore on new movies coming out in theaters. First up, The Wolfman. Universal Studios resurrects the classic tale of an American who experiences an unsettling transformation after returning to his ancestral home in Victorian-era Great Britain. Who plays the Wolfman? Benicio del Toro.
Sweet.
Anthony Hopkins as his father. Also in the cast is Emily Blunt and Hugo Weaving. Matt, interested or ignore?
Ring the bell. Interested. I couldn't be more interested. First of all, I'm a huge fan of the Universal monsters, you know, mm-hmm. Wolfman, Dracula. It's awesome to see them updating this story and bringing it into the modern era with new effects. And who wouldn't love that cast? It's great.
I'm also giving it an interest.
Sweet.
And, you know, I was a little worried because I thought maybe the February release was sort of odd, it seemed. Why is it coming out in February? It seemed like it should have been released like near the end of last year or something, like more of a prime spot. But... it looks great. Benicio del Toro as the Wolfman, I think, is an absolutely awesome pick.
I think so, too. Maybe they didn't want to load up the back of the year. You know, it's so busy already with so many films. They wanted to stand apart a little more. I think this is one we're going to be talking about all the way at the end of 2010.
And the great thing, too, is Anthony Hopkins. What clout this guy brings to a movie. You see Anthony Hopkins in it, you know the movie's, it's for real.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Also opening this week is Valentine's Day. Interwining couples and singles in Los Angeles break up and make up based on the pressures and expectations of Valentine's Day. The cast is supposed to reel us all in, as it includes Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Bradley Cooper, Jamie Foxx, Jennifer Garner, Ashton Kutcher, Queen Latifah, Kathy Bates, Patrick Dempsey, Anne Hathaway, and Julia Roberts. Matt, interested or ignore?
Ignore.
I'm giving it an ignore as well. Stay away from this thing.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing here is like the Spider-Man 3 syndrome, since we're talking about sequels. Too much. They're trying to throw too many big names at this thing, mm-hmm. and every time they do this, it always flops. I'm not a fan of a star-studded cast on a vapid screenplay.
Agree more.
Yeah.
Number one, I can't stand when they put this many stars in a movie because they're each going to have about five minutes of screen time. Their stories are going to be so condensed, they're not really going to make much sense. And two, I am not at all a big fan of this new trend of putting out these big date movies right on Valentine's Day. It's like the third year in a row we're getting this I Love You, I Think So Maybe, or Valentine's Day, and they put it right on Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah.
It really reels in all the suckers.
It's manufactured.
Oh, I hate it. So, listen, two ignores on Valentine's Day. Stay away.
I feel sorry for all the sad sacks that get dragged to this thing by their girlfriends.
Yeah. You wear the pants in the relationship, you go to the Wolfman.
That's right. You tell them, Ryan.
Yeah. Now, you got another big movie coming out in 2 weeks. Marty Scorsese.
Marty.
And Leo DiCaprio.
Leo.
Teaming up again for Shutter Island. This is a drama set in 1954. U.S. Marshal Teddy Daniels is investigating the disappearance of a murderess who escapes from a hospital for the criminally insane and is presumed to be hiding on the remote Shutter Island.
Dun, dun, dun.
Also starring Mark Ruffalo, Ben Kingsley, and Michelle Williams. Matt, interested or ignore?
Interested.
I'm giving it an interested as well.
I love Marty. I love Leo. I love Ben Kingsley, as a matter of fact.
So do I.
Loved him ever since Gandhi.
I love to see that there's big names like this, Scorsese, DiCaprio, Kingsley, really concentrating on what looks to be like a pretty good scare in the theater.
Honestly, I'm a little surprised from the departure in form. You know, they usually do these crime movies or stuff like The Aviator where it's like historical.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a horror movie, really, from these guys? I'm stoked. I'm interested. I'm worried, though, a little bit.
I'm worried a little bit, too, also. Again, from what I hear, the backstory on this thing was supposed to come out in October of last year and got pushed back because the studio didn't have enough funds to properly promote it at the end of the year. So something gives me the idea of, like, why would they push this back from their October sort of Oscar season, push it back to a February release next year? Seems sort of odd.
Yeah, or it could be, again, like they didn't want to like make the year back heavy. I mean, who knows?
True, but it's Scorsese, DiCaprio. We got two interests for Shutter Island.
We don't usually agree this much, right? It's kind of scary.
It is scary. So for you new listeners out there, trust me, we don't agree this much. Cherish this moment.
Cherish it.
All right, so that brings us to, here comes Charles Klein now.
Let's introduce him.
You know, let's introduce Charles, yeah. And that way we can get right to the theme of the show here. Charles?
Hello.
How we doing?
Doing real good. How are you guys?
It's great to have you back,
it's
Chuck.
It's wonderful to be back. Thanks for having me.
We should definitely mention some of Charles's credits. Charles's,
yes.
Is that how you would say it, Chuck?
The just one S, Charles credits.
Charles credits.
Yeah, I think that's
so,
how you do it.
Along with creating the Indie Incubator Film Festival.
Right.
You've also been a director on several short films.
Correct. Yeah, directing some short films in the area. Big proponent of the independent Chicago film scene.
Yeah, and you're a semi-pro shooter. You've done some stuff for television and...
Yeah, did a little production work on, like, Dancing with the Stars and stuff like that. Just little stuff, you know?
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah.
People would love to get that kind of work.
Yes.
Yeah, is there a site out there that people could find some of your work, or if they were interested in hiring you to do some work for you?
Go to filmbeyondstudios.com. You can check it out there, and all the info's on there.
Awesome.
Sweet. And he also happens to be a close personal friend of ours.
He is.
We should mention that.
He's a great friend of ours.
Absolutely.
And he was a great first guest, and that's why we wanted to bring him back. Make sure we bring a very strong guest back to be our first sequel guest.
Yes.
I like it. Keep feeding my ego. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here.
So Charles knows how the show works. We're going to go around and about on our theme of the show here, which is our favorite sequels.
Wonderful.
And we're just going to go bam, 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 right down the list from 5 down to number 1.
5 to 1.
Now, Matt, you want to start us off this week?
I'd love to, Rye.
All right.
Awesome. At number 5, I couldn't pick a more classic film and one that fits my personality. 1987 American cult comedy horror film, Evil Dead 2.
Not on my list, but I've never even seen the movie.
Jesus. Rye, come on.
Good Lord.
You got to see this movie.
I'll let you borrow it.
Yeah.
First of all, this is Sam Raimi mm-hmm. at his finest hour, and he also wrote it, too. This was Bruce Campbell, you know, starred in it, and as Ash Williams, of course, and it was followed by a sequel in its own right in 1993, The Army of Darkness.
Oh, so that's where The Army of Darkness comes from.
Correct.
Which I've seen. All right.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you liked Army of Darkness, this one's even better.
Yeah.
And dude, honestly, this film is so highly acclaimed. I'm not going to read all the accolades, but I'll give you one, okay? In 2008, Empire Magazine included Evil Dead 2 in their list of 500 greatest movies of all time, ranked at number 49.
Wow.
That's huge.
Hey, it says something right there.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So I got to check this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely have to check that out, especially if you love Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
I prefer Army of Darkness. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I don't know.
That scene where Ash is going insane and all the things on the wall are talking to him and all the like inanimate objects in the house.
Yeah, and the scene with all the little Ashes, I guess, going to get him like a...
That's Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer Army of Darkness.
That's the one you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that swings us
my
over.
My mind just goes there all the time.
Chuck's number 5, Charles.
My number 5 is, I think, an underrated film because another big movie came out that year, The Dark Knight. My number 5 is Hellboy 2.
Wow.
Excellent pick.
Based on the totally underrated film, I think, based on the comic book by Mike, is it Mignola or?
I always say Mignola.
Mignola? Yeah.
Could be mispronouncing it.
No, Guillermo del Toro of Pan's Labyrinth fame, you know, just pours so much creativity in this script. There's just action. There's humor. I love watching Hellboy.
Yeah.
Wonderful movie.
The great thing is, you guys are on a roll here. That's two movies I have not seen.
Oh, man.
Well, these are two movies you should see.
I'm putting these on the queue.
Did you see Hellboy 1?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
And I hear Hellboy is a really good movie. It's a really good series at this point. I believe a 3 is coming out. Am I right?
I hope
hopefully, so. Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Ron Perlman, amazing as Hellboy.
It's great. Wonderful movie. You should see it.
Yeah. All right. That brings us to my number 5. I want to clarify right away. Total guilty pleasure here. Number 5. You guys, let the jokes start flying after this one. This is 1982 Michelle Pfeiffer vehicle, Grease 2.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Dude.
Are you making this up?
No, I am not.
Oh, no.
You know what? I don't know why, but...
I'm shocked.
Can you sing something from this chorus?
Yes.
Sing something.
Come on.
I'm a cool rider. Here was the thing. I love the cool rider in this movie.
I like the cool rider, too.
You know, I was a kid when this came out, and I saw it in the way he, like, built his motorcycle. For some reason, it just... I was the right age to just get me hook, line, sinker. I thought this guy was flat out the coolest guy. He had his motorcycle. He comes to the bowling alley. You got Michelle Pfeiffer on top of a ladder singing about him, and just awesome. And I, you know, I never saw Grease as much. I saw Grease a couple of times, but I remember seeing Grease 2, I think because it was the cheap sequel, on cable all the time when I was a kid, and I just fell in love with the movie. And so it's a guilty pleasure, but that's what number 5's on a top 5 list are for, guilty pleasures.
All right, I'll admit it. I like Grease 2 also. I admit.
Yeah, I also had a mad crush on her in that movie. It was...
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say on Michael, the
cool
rider.
So did I
rider.
For a second. Yeah. I thought, where's this going?
Maybe something. I don't know.
All right. So that brings us to number 4 on Matt's list. And really quick, before we get to our 4s, we were saying before we went on air, Matt, that how difficult it is to come up with a really good sequel, because how many bad sequels are made compared to the gems that are here?
Yeah. There's right? For every good sequel, there's probably 15 or 20 crappy ones.
I'd go with 30.
I agree.
There's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And the funny thing is, I actually read my list to a coworker before we came on tonight, and she panned my picks as very pedestrian.
Pedestrian,
yeah,
I love it.
Pedestrian.
Yeah.
That was, so I think, though, that when you're talking about sequels, these are iconic, and yeah, maybe they seem pedestrian, but you really can't not mention these films, and my number 4 exemplifies that.
All right, let's hear it.
Aliens.
Nice pick.
Good one.
Yes.
On my list. I wanted to put it on there.
Charles, on yours at all?
Aliens is not on my list.
I think
Alien is such a great movie. And if I have two, if I have Alien and Aliens in front of me, I always go to Alien.
I always go to Aliens. It's the more, funner is not a word, is it? But
no.
it's the more
you can
funner,
use it here.
I'm using
it's
it. It's
funner,
a funner movie. Like seriously, if I have to just watch a movie, I'm gonna watch Aliens. If I have to watch a film quote air quotes here, then I'm watching Alien.
Well put. That's pretty good.
I mean, if you're a grammatically incorrect person and like to use the word funner, I guess you could go for Aliens.
Yes, if you use the word funner, Aliens is for you. Came out in 86. This is an action film. It's not horror, not the suspense we saw in the first
James
one.
James Cameron took over the series from Ridley Scott here.
Yeah, exactly. And James Cameron, some of his early work sort of showed us what this guy was capable of. Not his earliest, but definitely earlier. Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton, the cast is amazing. And there's one of the fun facts here, I got to mention this. There's philosopher Stephen Mulhall has remarked that the 4 Alien films represent an artistic rendering of the difficulties faced by woman's voice, quote, to have itself heard in masculinist society, which, by the way, masculinist also isn't a word. However, Mulhall believes that Ripley's relationship with Hicks illustrates that Aliens is devoted to the possibility of modes of masculinity that seek not to stifle, but rather to accommodate the female voice. And I could go on and on. Can you believe there's a philosopher writing about Aliens?
I cannot.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the production meetings when they were...
you take a class now Geiger. At Harvard on Aliens, you know?
Yeah, I think what this says is people have picked apart this movie. It's definitely a valid entry on any top list. Aliens, I stand behind it.
I agree. It's a great sequel.
It is a good sequel.
Yeah. I mean, there's sequel. You're not going to get a bad word out of me on Aliens. It's
I'll call
a
it a good
movie.
Sequel. Yeah. It's a good sequel.
Good pick. That moves us to number 4 on Charles's list.
I'm going, it's The Silence of the Lambs.
Whoa! Threw us a curveball. Matt, clarification, is it a sequel?
Silence of the Lambs, is it a sequel? No, it's not a sequel.
I'll make two cases. First is the excellent Michael Mann film that came out and I believe it was 1986, called Manhunter.
Manhunter, right.
Yes, but the word excellent maybe shouldn't be there, I don't think.
Have you seen Manhunter?
I have seen it.
I think it is excellent.
The ending with the shotgun is just, like, ridiculous. It's
that's
like,
all this, right.
This totally degrades it. It starts good, and then it degrades into a crappy 80s action flick.
It is an 80s action flick. But anyway,
it is.
But the story
cheesy 80s music in there.
The story is...
I'll stay off Manhunter, okay?
What's your other case?
Good exploration of obsession is Manhunter. You know, really obsessed with, you know, catching the Tooth Fairy in it. Just real good. But Silence of the Lambs is a sequel. I mean, you also had Red Dragon that came out.
No, Red Dragon was a prequel.
Which makes Silence of the Lambs a...
sequel! No, well done, Charlie!
Silence of the Lambs came out chronologically before, therefore it's not a sequel. It doesn't follow sequentially.
Well, if you... Yeah, it does, because Hannibal Lecter's younger in Manhunter by that bad hair dye job.
All right, I'll give it to you.
He's got going on.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
It's such a great film.
No, I think he's right. I really go because of the first reference that you gave us.
Manhunter.
Manhunter. Yeah, totally gives him the idea that there was Manhunter, then Silence of the
Lambs. And if you Wikipedia the film, it'll say preceded by Manhunter.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
All right. If not Kill Bill 2, we'll just throw that in.
All right. Well,
I love Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies.
I just got done watching it. Fantastic movie. You know, I love this movie. I watch it probably every year.
Me too.
Yes. Good pick. Controversial.
Gracias.
All right. Now I'm getting serious. I know at number 5, I had Grease 2, so I'm coming back strong at my number 4 pick. 1980, Superman 2.
Wow.
Excellent.
I loved Superman 2, probably more so when I was a kid, more so than Superman 1. Then as I got older, realized that Superman 1 was really the best movie out of the two. But the villains in there, led by General Zod.
Son of Jor-El, kneel before Zod.
He's an excellent villain in this movie. And then also, the whole ending with Clark Kent changing the powers... did he not change the powers and the whole way he goes inside that little chamber and switches it all around?
Do you prefer the Donner cut or the original?
I have not yet seen the Donner cut.
I haven't seen it either.
Changes the entire movie.
Is it better or different?
Don't know. Honestly, I think I prefer the original cut.
Yeah, I think I'm so familiar with the original that it would be tough for me to actually take the second one at the value that they want us to. Let's say this is the Donner cut and this is what you should. Well, I'm just too familiar with the first one.
I love that second movie, though. I remember watching it all the time. I think we had like a VHS tape of it when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over. We'd watch that. And then we'd always start Superman 3, and I think I'd shut it off, even as a little kid.
How about the first time Clark Kent was at the diner, and he has no powers anymore, and he gets beat up, and there's blood, and he's all shocked by seeing the blood, and the world needs Superman, and it's fantastic.
It's good stuff. I always thought, you know what, you deserve it, Superman.
Yeah.
You need to take a little bit of a butt whooping.
That was my number 4, Superman 2.
Good stuff.
Over to your number 3, Matt.
All right. You know, I think there's a lot of superhero films on this list. My number 3 is no exception. One of my favorite movies of all time, 2004 American superhero film, Spider-Man 2.
Number 3 on my list as well.
How about that?
Wow, look at you guys. You're starting
this
to think
the
alike.
Agreement episode.
Yes.
What's kind of scary?
This is the movie I like to refer to as box office gold.
Mm-hmm.
It made over $783 million worldwide. So anybody who says superhero movies are like lowbrow or something like that, well, somebody's buying this stuff, okay? And it also got some Academy Awards for visual effects.
Yes.
And let's face it, it's the superior movie of all three.
Right, for sure. I think so also, yes.
We got Doc Ock.
100% agree. Yes. Superior film.
Yeah. Oh, man, that fight on the L, when they're on the L train, it was
awesome.
Actually shot here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But it's made to look like New York City, and they have this fight with Doc Ock. If you haven't seen this movie, crawl out from the rock you're living under.
I agree. The two, like I expressed in an earlier Cinema Jaw, that always the first episode of a superhero movie always has to do with the origin of how they became. And Spider-Man 2, already knowing how he became Spider-Man, just let us go straight from the point of the movie, that whole adventure. It just got deeper, more complex, great villain. The love story between him and Mary Jane was excellent.
Definitely. You got Sam Raimi. Two Sam Raimi
two
movies.
Two Sam Raimis on that. I meant to mention that. Yeah,
so he's like the best sequel director of all time. According to Matt Kay.
Yes, and definitely. And, you know, to build off what Rye was saying, they had that great recap in the beginning that was done with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of drew it into, and that was Alex Ross, who also lives in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who drew that. He's an excellent artist.
I agree. Excellent intro. Sort of that comic book picture.
And that's all you need.
On. Yeah, and it just, bam, right into number two.
Yep.
All right.
Awesome. That brings us to Charles's number three. Tough one to follow up here, Chuck.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at sequels, you're trying to come up with something different, but sequels are only made for usually successful movies, so they're all going to be big movies.
Yeah, but not always good.
I think my number three is a really big, long movie, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, my number three.
I like it.
I like it also. Not on my list, but I like it a lot.
It's my favorite of the, you know, it's my favorite of the trilogy. That battle scene with Helm's Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just, the lead into it, it's just gets your heart pumping, and it just starts with a single arrow.
Mm-hmm. When Gandalf comes down the hill with the Riders of Rohan behind him.
Wonderful movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Also, another element of that movie that I love is the trees. You got Treebeard. And
the Ents.
Yes, they're awesome, and they're walking, and the way they sway, and they talk like this.
I thought they handled the effects great, but that was one of the things that the fans of the books didn't like, because in the novels, Tolkien gets into everything in minute detail.
Mm-hmm.
He could talk about the rocks for like four pages, the rocks on the ground.
Yeah.
But the Ents had a much bigger part in the novels, and some of the fans really thought that they cut too much out of their story in the film.
Yeah.
Regardless, I thought it was a great film.
Yeah.
And I didn't read. I think I got halfway through The Two Towers, and like you said, he started describing rocks and
yeah,
he really does. And he talks about the
and like lineages and
yeah.
Lineages of flowers, and
it's a labor of love. I think you should kind of force yourself through it.
I started reading again, so maybe
good
I'll
for you.
That's great, Charles. That's
it.
Great. What was that humongous graphic novel I saw you have in your bag?
Matt Kay let me borrow this graphic novel called Bone. It's 1,300 illustrated pages by an artist writer named Jeff Smith, right?
Jeff Smith, yeah.
Jeff Smith, and that has a lot of Lord of the Rings influence in mm-hmm. it too. So anybody who's a fan of the Lord of the Rings, fan of comics, and a fan of like Saturday morning comic strips, would
love
what
did
this.
You equate
and
it
also
to?
Also a fan of carrying a very big heavy book around with
you. Yeah, you could beat someone with
it. It's like 75% Lord of the Rings, 25% Animaniacs.
Animaniacs, yeah. Totally. Yeah,
really
yeah,
good stuff.
Great pick though with The Two Towers.
I agree.
Excellent trilogy.
Thank you,
excellent,
Ryan.
Excellent sequel. Now number three on my list, already covered, Spider-Man 2, 2004.
We were in agreement
there.
We
were in agreement. So that brings us to number two on Matt's list.
Another superhero film.
Great, bring them on.
But I won't call this a superhero film flat out, because Wikipedia agrees with me. This 2008 movie is a superhero crime thriller.
Oh boy.
And also happens to be probably the best movie of 2008. Possibly one of the best movies of all time. Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight.
My number two also.
Nice. Really
awesome. Yeah. This appears on many of my lists because I really can't stress enough how awesome this movie was.
I can't stop. I put it in once a month.
Didn't we watch it together?
Probably.
I think you were...
At the IMAX?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we saw it in IMAX.
Saw it in the IMAX, yeah.
Yeah. You and Jim Terry were there and...
Yeah, just a smile on my face the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time the Joker comes on scene, it was just... It was so rich. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part for sure is when the Joker comes and crashes that party where Maggie Gyllenhaal is at.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just got that, like, sinister...
Yeah. You know how I got these scars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, great movie, too, to highlight Chicago at the same point.
Yeah.
We talked about this on another Jaw, Matt, about... I thought a little bit it took me out of the movie because I never really bought it as being Gotham City.
Okay.
To me, a Chicagoan through and through. I thought, well... It's taking place in Chicago.
And he did make it look...
But I like that.
He did make it look a lot different in the first one.
He did.
And
the
second
one.
Like, the first one, it looked a little CGI, and
yeah.
It was, you know, they added to the skyscrapers. In the second one, it just seemed like it was, like,
real.
Solid Chicago.
Right, yeah. Which was better, because in the first one, that took me out of the story, because as somebody who is familiar with the Chicago skyline, I see half of it, and then I see a matte painting, and I notice that.
Yeah, it's like you almost figured out you don't have to make it look like the background of a comic book. You can just... You
just
know, use the city, and it adds a lot.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. And since we're talking about graphic novels, I wanted to mention that this film was inspired by two graphic novels. First of all, the Joker's comic book debut in 1940, but more importantly, the 1996 series, The Long Halloween, which was done by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, the guys behind Heroes on television.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so if you're into graphic novels, this is one to check out. It was the inspiration for The Dark Knight. And you've read Long Halloween,
right? I have read The Long Halloween, yeah.
Awesome, isn't it?
It is.
It's kind of a retelling of Two-Face's, origin. And man, this film handled the character Two-Face correctly. Mm-hmm. Whereas Batman Forever with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
It was like this silly guy running around with the laughing, like the, you know, just laughing and with a weird red thing on his face. And
it sucked.
Yeah.
He was like the Joker. Two-Face isn't insane. Well, he's insane, but in a different way.
And he like decorated his place in half. Yeah. In half. And like, did he call somebody? And he's like, all right.
Two girlfriends.
Yeah, two girlfriends.
Drew Barrymore was one of his girlfriends.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the other one was the chick from Goodfellas who is Ray Liotta's mistress. I forget her name, but anyway,
Goodfellas. With an F? I don't know.
Yeah, Falco.
Is that it?
No.
No.
It's there. We'll figure
Edie
it out.
Edie Falco. That's who I was thinking of, but I'm wrong on that.
She should have played
that role. This is another box office gold film. This is, to date, grossed over $1 billion. $1 billion.
Beautiful.
Superheroes.
They announced today, I heard, that he's back for the
number
Christopher
three?
Nolan and Goyer are back.
Is Bale back?
For writing, they're going to start writing the third one.
Oh, they're writing it.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see if they cast Bale again as Batman.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
For me, I think he's the weakest link.
Yeah, I agree. Same here. I hate his voice in the movie as Batman. That's one thing that takes me out. That whole, like, I'm the Dark Knight. Come on. It's over. It's too much.
I agree.
Yeah. But I agree. Weakest link, but still serviceable as a Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
All right, so those were a couple of powerful number twos.
Indeed.
Yeah.
What's your pick?
My number two is 1980.
Oh, good Lord.
What a year.
Here we go.
The Empire Strikes Back.
At number two? Travesty.
Number two on my list.
Travesty.
Don't tell me it made number one on yours.
It's the best sequel of all time, Rye. Of course it's number one on my list.
Not even on my list.
Not even on Charles' list.
Didn't even make it.
I'm leaving.
You can't leave. Kick Charles out.
All right, get out. Jesus, really? I thought it was going to be your number one for sure. All right.
You know what? I have here, you know, to many it's their favorite Star Wars film. It's the darkest. I mean, if you're a fan of Darth Vader, I mean, this is the high point for you. This is Vader's just glory right here in Empire. And you know what? Overall, though, the ending sequence is the part that sticks out with me the most as far as being that absolute classic cinema moment.
Okay.
When Luke finds out that, we're not spoiling anything here, that Darth Vader is
his
father.
Oh, good Lord.
That whole
you
fight
didn't know?
In Cloud City is just so fantastic. When I rewatch it, I think, like, wow, this was really just a moment of
very high drama
history. Yeah, this was awesome. Vader's helmet's blowing in the wind, and he's like, we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
Yes.
You know, I didn't see it enough as a kid. I don't know why. It was like one of those, I owned Star Wars, I owned Return of the Jedi, but I didn't see Empire nearly enough. And lately, I just cherish the movie the more I see it. It's definitely one of my favorite Star Wars, probably Star Wars A New Hope.
So
Episode 4 is my favorite, but
yeah.
I love Empire.
Episode 4 is your favorite?
Yes, I love Empire.
You know,
but that's my number two.
Yeah.
We're swinging it over to Matt. What's your number one? Is it Empire?
Yes, Rod.
Oh, my gosh.
Your number one had better floor me, because there's no way that The Empire Strikes Back shouldn't be everybody's number one sequel of all time.
You know, I watched the whole trilogy last week, and I started it. I'm really loving, you guys are going to just hang me after this, but I really love the last hour and a half of Revenge of the Sith now.
No, I'm with you on that.
So am I. I love Sith the whole way.
I mean,
through.
They set
Sith
up like eight plot holes in it, but it's still great, and it really pumps you up. Like, I watched, and then I just threw in the whole trilogy after. As you can see, I had nothing to do on that Saturday.
Sith is probably the second best one of the series, I would say.
No.
Empire being the first.
I would actually say, like I said, A New Hope, Empire, Sith, then Jedi. But at least it cracked into the top three. At least we're talking about it. He did something there.
Yeah.
But let's not get carried away and talk about this all night.
All right.
You know, this is the first time they used the term space opera, I believe. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. It might have been Kubrick's film that got it the first time. But it wasn't even directed by Lucas. And he didn't even write it. It was based on a story written by him. And it was directed by Irvin
Kershner.
Kershner, yeah. Yes. I knew I was going to mispronounce
that. What else did Mr. Kershner do? Anybody know?
Very little.
he directed Empire Strikes Back, and that's
all
enough.
He needs. That's all he needs.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's what's going to be on
Seriously,
his tombstone.
Come on. Yes, it is. Director of Empire Strikes Back, beloved husband.
Nice.
It was written by Lee Brackett and another guy, Lawrence Kasdan. It's the second.
That's interesting.
Yeah. This is the one. Okay, we got Hoth, the Battle of Hoth.
Yes.
We got Boba Fett.
Yep.
We got Lando. We get Han getting captured and frozen
Yoda,
in carbonite.
The introduction of Yoda to the series.
The introduction of Yoda. Luke kisses Leia, his sister. We find out Vader's his father. Come on.
And you have the famous line, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Yeah, I mean, I you know what, though? Going into this list, I thought Matt was going to have it at number one, so maybe that kept me from putting it at number one.
I have fun facts.
I don't know if we have a lot of time for fun facts, but give us a couple.
These are really good. I just have one, so I'm going to really read it really fast. In the asteroid scene, one of the asteroids is actually a shoe. The rumor is that Lucas asked the special effects people to redo the scene so many times that they got annoyed and threw in their shoe. And another one of the asteroids is actually a potato.
Come on.
It appears just as the Millennium Falcon enters the field. Two asteroids travel from the top left to the bottom right screen, and you can see that the asteroid is actually a potato.
Hilarious.
If there wasn't another reason to watch this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. To rewatch it, look for the shoe and the potato.
All right. Good pick number one there, Matt. Charles, that gives us your number one.
Number one. I can't believe this isn't on your list. The Godfather Part Two.
Somebody had to mention The Godfather Part Two.
Is that your number one also?
No, not my number one. Not even, did not
I
make
can't
my
believe
list.
It didn't make anybody's list. The
it
greatest
to,
sequel
it,
of
had,
all time.
It had to be you, Fredo.
I mean,
Francis
honest,
Ford Coppola's epic
Matt,
Godfather.
I don't know how Matt feels about this. I'm not like one of these that puts The Godfather so high on a pedestal. I'm not saying it's not a great movie. It is. But I've never been huge on The Godfather 1 and 2.
I love mob movies, but I prefer Goodfellas.
So do I.
Yeah.
And maybe that explains it.
You know, you go back to Sicily with the origin of the Don and how he became the Don, yeah, with the correlation simultaneously, mm-hmm, of Michael Corleone coming up. It's so dramatic. It's just a wonderful movie. You got a great period piece in there, and then you got a great, I guess it was kind of modern for the time, but
at
like
the time, yeah.
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 And that in there too. It's like two great movies in one.
And the other thing too, that's interesting about that is The Godfather won the Academy Award for Best Picture, and then Godfather 2 comes around and also wins the Academy Award for Best Picture. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again.
Never.
Probably not.
Never.
That's a good point, Rye.
Yeah.
Really good
so,
point.
So, I mean, that is a worthy number one you got right there.
I know it is. That's why it's number one.
It's no Empire Strikes Back.
All right. Well, let's see what I got at number one here.
All right.
1991, Edward Furlong, Linda Hamilton, Terminator 2.
Wow.
What?
Number one of all time.
Jeez. You're out on a big limb here.
Oh, come on. I absolutely love the Terminator, the first movie.
I'm a
huge fan, right? I go to see this movie. This thing, it's summer blockbuster. I'm a Guns N' Roses fan at the time. They're doing the video for it. You remember You Could Be Mine. Go into the theater, action-packed, and I swear to God, this movie still holds up today as far as the action sequences, the special effects. The villain is fantastic.
Yeah.
Arnold is a good guy with such a great call.
It Governator.
Keeps with the Terminator theme, you know, different little bit of a storyline, but they're going back in time. Love Terminator 2.
Ryan.
It's a good pick.
You have two James Cameron movies on your list.
No,
so you...
no, I only have one.
He had Aliens.
Aliens.
Oh,
yes.
Gotcha.
But I like that he popped up twice.
Yeah,
another
definitely.
Master of the sequel, which yeah. I hope he can master Avatar too.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, so I had Terminator 2 at number one. Matt had Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
Godfather.
Charles had Godfather 2.
Three worthy films of number one spots on when we're talking about sequels.
Yeah, that was our top five favorite sequels. Right now, I think we're going to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a short break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Hi, I'm Rye the Movie Guy with a public service announcement. Every time you go to the theater to check out the foolish Nick Cage's latest film, be it Knowing, Next, or Bangkok Dangerous, you are casting a vote to Hollywood to keep on making stupid, unrealistic, non-entertaining movies. Let's end this circus. Please join me in banning all Nicolas Cage movies from here on out.
Okay, well, we're back. You're listening to Cinema Jaw. We're talking movies, and I have some Facebook comments on the greatest sequels of all time.
Oh, do tell, Matt. We got fans out there that want to express themselves.
We do. We do indeed. My wife agreed with me regarding Evil Dead 2, the wonderful, beautiful Heather P. Shute Kubinski. Slugs, my good buddy, said Godfather 2, T2, and Empire Strikes Back. Agree with all three of us.
Nice. I like it. Love the Slugs guy.
Kyle DeRemus threw in Teen Wolf 2. Let's see. Terminator 2 was also mentioned by a couple people. Jennifer Novicki mentioned it. The Harry Potters and Indiana Jones. We should probably do a trilogy show.
Not bad.
Matt Apple, friend of mine back from the grade school days.
Matt Orange?
No, Matt Apple.
Okay.
He's actually John Matthew Apple III. Toyota Recall, starring Governor Schwarzenegger. Get ready for the ride of your life. That was the worst Schwarzenegger impression ever. Todd Milano agrees Dark Knight and Spider-Man 2. Also mentioned Star Trek 2.
Con! That is a good sequel.
I was real close to putting that
on. Call right
Any
there.
Grease 2s in there?
No Grease 2s.
This guy's still giving me a tough time.
I know. Turns out no Grease 2s. My buddy Boehm always has some great, great entries. Caddyshack 2, Rambo First Blood, which is actually the original, not the sequel. Rocky 2, Death Wish 2, Toxic Avenger 2, Hot Shots Part 2.
That was hilarious.
And let's see. Let's get one more. Kevin Epperson, a definite contributor to the Indie Incubator Film Fest. Empire Strikes Back, Two Towers, Predator 2, Aliens, Kill Bill Part 2,
nice.
Friday the 13th Part 2, first appearance of Jason in the burlap sack, not the the hockey mask,
sure.
And right. Dark Knight. So he pretty much agrees with all our
nice.
Picks.
Nice.
That's
good to
my
hear
Facebook
from the fans.
Comments.
Yes.
What's up next?
Now we are ready for Hollywood headlines, Matt. News making news in Hollywood this week.
How about it?
All right, Matt, you hear this? Worst movie of all time, led by George Clooney's Batman. Batman and Robin, the 1997 movie starring Clooney as the Caped Crusader, came top in an online survey by the film magazine Empire to find the most disastrous film ever made. Empire said it got almost three times as many votes as the next entry, John Travolta's science fiction Battlefield Earth.
Maybe if they had put some nipples on the Battlefield Earth costumes, it would have been number one.
I did love the nipple costumes. I have one, and I...
Yeah.
I mean...
They pushed the series too far at that point.
It was a gift. It was a gift.
Oh, that's great.
Hey-o! Right, I don't know if you heard about this one. Rip Torn, heading to rehab after arrest. Rip Torn was so intoxicated, or torn up, when he broke into a Connecticut bank carrying a loaded gun that he thought was at home. Taking off his hat and boots and leaving them by the door, according to court records. That's how drunk this guy was.
This man was ripped up.
I thought he just threw wrenches around. Never mind.
Hey, he was great in the Larry
Dodgeball?
Sanders show.
Good one.
Great in the Larry Sanders show.
Yeah. Not so great anymore.
No.
What do you got?
He's drinking a lot. Listen to this, Matt. From the Hollywood Reporter, Tim Robbins signs on for the Green Lantern. Robbins will play Senator Hammond, the disapproving father of the movie's villain, Dr. Hector Hammond, Peter Sarsgaard.
You know, ever since they took this one away from Smith,
I don't think it's ever getting made.
No?
Yeah.
Signed on here.
The Green Lantern gets green lit. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I think Kevin Smith would have been the perfect choice for it. I agree. Yeah. This is too bad.
That wasn't that witty, but I got one. That wasn't that witty from me, I meant, not from you.
For a normal person, it would be incredibly witty.
I'm the Green Lantern.
I'm trying to come up with good quips. I was going to go to something about him being married to Susan Sarandon, but I couldn't come up with it. 3D Rising, Rye.
Okay.
We've been hearing for a few weeks now that Warner Brothers is doing everything it can to get the new Clash of the Titans remake converted for a 3D release. Clash will have its March 26th release date pushed back to April 2nd. Also confirmed for 3D are parts 1 and 2 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, which hit theaters on November 9th of this year and July 15th, 2011.
For me, it's getting a little out of control here. I got to start bringing like glasses cleaner to the theater because the last time I saw a movie in 3D, which was Avatar, I had a huge smear of butter on my lens.
I got to start bringing like painkillers because you put those things on your eyes for like 2 hours and you get like this migraine.
I like it, but I don't.
I'm just going to start walking around wearing 3D glasses all the time.
All the time in 3D.
Yeah, life is in 3D.
I love it. Those are Hollywood headlines making news this week in Hollywood.
Awesome.
Now, coming up here, we always Charles, you know it because you started it being our first guest. A tradition here.
I got smoked.
Playing trivia against Matt K.
All right, here we go.
It was close. You didn't get smoked.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. I think it was like 17 to 2.
This week's theme is this. We got.
But you are. You have lost, I think, the last two, right?
So no, I've won. I smoked Vigiano last week.
Yes, in the last episode, right. Matt was victorious. All right, here it is. Here's your clue. We got taglines from famous sequels.
Okay.
So every tagline here is from a sequel. We're going to start with Charles to guess.
And we name the film.
You name the film this tagline is from.
Okay.
We have 12 clues, winner after that.
Number you give me
one.
The tagline, I name the film.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
To Charles.
Ready.
First tagline, here we go. They still don't like you. In fact, they like you even less. One more time.
Problem Child 2.
To Matt.
They still don't like you. In fact, they like you even less. American Pie 2.
Wow, that was a tough one, folks. That was Clerks 2. Over to Matt. Getting Back was only the beginning. These are famous sequels, folks. Getting Back was only the beginning.
Back to the Future 2.
One nothing, Matt takes the lead.
All right.
Over to Charles.
Yep.
When there's more trouble than one man can handle, there's more than one man for the job.
I love these taglines.
Come on, one more time.
One more time. When there's more trouble than one man can handle, there's more than one man for the job. This is a famous sequel.
Who writes that kind of stuff?
Grease 2.
Wait, one more time. I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous.
When there's more trouble than one man can handle,
they bring
there's
two guys.
More than one man for the job.
It's like a brain teaser.
Another 48 hours.
That was Fletch Lives. Fletch Lives.
I've Should seen it. Known. I love it. Didn't know the tagline.
Over to Matt. Charles, I already apologize for the ease What's of this wrong? Clue, but okay. It's random draw. The bat, the cat, the penguin.
Get out of here.
Batman Returns.
2-0, Matt.
I've gotten Fletch. And what?
Over to Charles. Here you
Alrighty,
go.
All righty. Here we go.
Famous sequel tagline.
Okay.
They stole his identity. Now he wants it back.
The Bourne second film. Supremacy
we'll give
Ultimatum.
It to him since he's a guest. It was Bourne Supremacy.
Okay.
All right, back over to Matt. Same planet, new scum.
Same planet, new scum.
It is currently 2-1, Matt over Charles Klein.
I don't know. I really think I should know that.
Over to Charles. Same planet, new scum.
It's got to be sci-fi.
Famous sequel. He's on the right target with sci-fi.
It's not Aliens. I don't know. Gremlins 2.
Men in Black 2.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right, Charles, you could tie it up right here.
I'm feeling the pressures of our new time limit here.
The Man in the Hat is back. The Man in the Hat is back. Famous sequel.
I don't know.
The Man in the Hat is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Ah, yeah.
I was going to say Curious George.
3-1 lead right now, Matt has. And this clue is over to Matt. The rematch of a century.
Oh, it's got to be...
The rematch of the century.
It's got to be
Rocky
2.
Give him all day.
4-1. This guy is just cruising.
Oh, yeah.
Put up a fight, Charles. Put up a fight. Here we go. One more lesson to share.
All right.
The price of honor, the glory of friendship, and the way you must fight when only the winner survives.
Karate Kid 2.
Nailed it. 4-2. That's a great one.
I am a man who will fight for your honor.
All right. Over to Matt. Watch out. They've got to clean up the worst cut. Oh, boy. Let me start over again. Here we go. Watch out. They've got to clean up the worst crime district in the world. But that's no problem. They're the worst police force in the universe.
Police Academy 2.
5-2. I think that clears the game, but we're going through them all. Here you go,
all
Charles.
All right, here we go.
Just when you thought it was safe to go trick-or-treating.
Halloween 2.
5-3.
It's another really crappy tagline.
Over to Matt. It's time for a second helping.
Oh, man, I know this one.
Oh, man.
It's time for a second helping.
It's time for
American
a second
Pie
helping.
American Pie 2.
Yes. If they actually made this sequel, this tagline would have been, oh, no, it's sinking again.
Titanic 2.
Yes, but it's over.
You give him the easy one.
Man has won it 5-3. Great game.
Congratulations.
I got one more if they had made this sequel. Here okay. we go. Oh, my God. Houston, we have another problem.
Apollo 13.
Apollo 14.
Yes!
Oh, no.
That went 6-3.
Sweet.
Very tricky. While we're at it, a new segment I wanted to try out here before we get to this one. It's called Alive or Dead. Famous actor, up there in age.
I
you tell
it.
Me if he's alive or dead.
Oh, no. Okay.
Has he expired or is he still living?
Okay.
All right, the questionable actor this time is, we're going to start with our guest.
Okay.
Alive or dead, Gene Wilder. Charles?
Alive.
I'm going with alive.
He's alive. He's alive.
Thank
he
goodness.
Has not expired. All
right. Willy Wonka lives.
All right, one more quick segment. We're trying these new ones out here. I forgot to mention this one. This for a while, I was doing funny facts about movies, and one of them was fake.
Yeah.
This one is actually the reverse.
Okay.
The idea is the actor, he starred in what? Odd movie title that this man starred in. I'm going to give you four movies. He actually starred in one of them. You tell me which is the correct name of the movie.
Okay.
All right. The actor is Steve Buscemi.
All right.
Did Steve Buscemi, early on in his career, star in a movie called The Casket Maker, Arena Brains, Spam Man, or Intestinal Release? He actually starred in one of those movies. Our guest is going first. The Casket Maker, Arena Brains, Spam Man, or Intestinal Release?
Arena Brains.
Casket Maker.
We have a winner. Ladies and gentlemen, finally, Charles Klein
won. Can we add this to the tally? Can we?
Check this one out. Arena Brains came out in 1987. It also stars Michael Stipe and Ray Liotta. Stipe of REM fame.
Stipe.
Whatever his name is.
Stipe, yeah. Michael Stipe. The bald guy.
Hilarious.
I gotta see this thing.
Really?
Maybe
Michael
I don't.
Stipe is in it? That's pretty weird.
Unbelievable. So that gets us to our DVD segments of the reviews. We got a
Sweet.
Lot of new movies if you're at home, and we got a lot of bad weather out there, so people are staying home to watch movies.
Yeah.
Up first, Zombieland.
Excellent choice.
Gave this one a spin. Woody Harrelson's excellent. Jesse Eisenberg carries this movie as the nerdy college kid. Matches up perfectly with Woody Harrelson. Awesome cinematography. It's very funny the way the zombies get killed, wouldn't you say, Matt?
As a zombie aficionado, that's hard to say.
Yes.
A zombie aficionado, I would not put this even in my top 10.
Wow.
As a regular moviegoer, a regular guy just going to see this, it was awesome.
Is it yes. zombie aficionado or a zombie snob?
Zombie snob.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really snobby when it comes to my zombies. So,
yeah I,
no,
recommend
I loved
it big time, though.
I recommend it because this is zombies that are accessible to the masses.
Yes.
Zombies for zombies.
Yes, great way to put it. So give that one a spin, though. I like it. And it's short, 88 minutes, so I'm recommending.
Looking forward to seeing it.
Looking forward to the sequel.
Yes. Also out is Hurt Locker, which has been nominated for Best Picture.
Still haven't seen it.
Yes, I saw it. You know, the film takes place in Iraq and with an elite army bomb squad unit. Very intense moments throughout the film. I thought a little bit predictable. I didn't agree as most critics do, as they absolutely loved the film, but I definitely worthy of a spin. So give it a spin.
Yeah, it sounds like a name for a heavy metal band. Hurt Locker.
Also, I checked out Whip It. Drew Barrymore makes her directorial debut with this film.
Saw it too.
Yes. Ellen Page plays a girl that does not fit in with the perfect mold that her mom wants her to be, so she finds roller derby, of all things. Doesn't just join the team, but becomes the team star. What'd you think?
I know you find that fact unbelievable.
It sounds awful.
Yeah. No, it ruled.
No, it did not rule.
It
I did not
ruled.
Like this movie. No way did it rule.
Ruled.
It did not rule.
Ruled.
This can't rule.
Here's what
the
it
rules.
Was. Charles, here's what it is. It's like they tried to come up with the same formula as Dodgeball, where they got all these goofy teams
Couldn't
playing.
Couldn't disagree
Is
more.
Rip Torn in this, too?
No. They got all these goofy teams playing Dodgeball, their odd character names. The comedy's forced. I hated Drew Barrymore in this movie.
You're so wrong.
And the other thing is, Jimmy Fallon does like the ring announcer. He's giving you the play-by-play. I hated him.
This is a movie, a coming-of-age teen angst movie. Dodgeball is a screwball comedy. This is a coming-of-age teen angst movie in the same vein as Pump Up the Volume or dare I say it, even Breakfast Club.
You're really philosophizing this thing like that guy did Aliens
maybe
a little
so,
bit, huh?
Maybe so, Chuck. Maybe you should. But no, this was a good movie. This was a great movie. It's about a girl in a small town whose mom is trying to shove this beauty pageant crap down her throat, and she finds this alternative lifestyle. When you're living in small town Texas, this is revolutionary.
Yeah, but mind you, Charles, the way she finds it is these roller girls like roll into a shop that she's at. The whole beginning just seems like, oh my God, this is forced. They're trying to be funny, and I wasn't laughing.
Like
at
Coyote
all.
Ugly on roller skates or something.
Not at all.
Nah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, but.
Obviously, you've never been a little girl in a small town in Texas.
I have not.
You just don't have perspective on this, Rye. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm giving it a skip it. Matt's giving it a pick it up.
I'm giving it a whip it. Check it out.
I'm giving it a whip it also. Whip it to the floor.
No, this movie was awesome. Loved it.
Another one I checked out was Bright Star. This is a romantic look at the 19th century poet John Keats and his true love, Franny Braun. I didn't know much about Keats going into it. You know, I'm not big into English period pieces, but this one's done really well. So it sort of reels you in. It's got a humor throughout the movie. The whole classical English set pieces and dance scenes are cut short. So overall, I recommend it going into Valentine's Day. Bright Star.
All right.
Like most girls in small town Texas, I like costume dramas also, so I will check this out.
So check that
maybe,
one out.
Maybe you can whip it while you're at it.
All right. So I recommend Bright Star, Hurt Locker, and Zombieland. Meanwhile, I say get rid of Whip It, but Matt likes Whip It. Matt also says Zombieland's a must-see.
I almost cried during Whip It.
I can't believe that, Matt. We'll talk about this off-air. That brings us to Matt's big segment. It is called the B-Movie A-List.
This week for the B-Movie A-List, my pick is a 1984 classic. Classic year, classic movie, Ice Pirates.
Nice. I've never even heard of this movie.
What?
B-Movie.
Oh, my God, Rye. I can't believe you haven't seen this. There's some really interesting actors in this. It stars the guy, oh, gosh, Angelica Houston's in it, Ron Perlman. John Carradine is in it. It's a hoot. So
you're recommending this B movie?
Oh yeah. Here's the premise: in the future, water is a rare commodity. There's these pirates. They're out in space. It's a sci-fi movie, a really crappy, campy sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. And they have to steal ice. They have to, you know, ice is like currency to them. So they try to steal some ice. They get captured. The snobby princess buys them, you know, because they've become slaves. And she has to find the secret planet where there's supposedly all this water. They go through this big time warp, and a battle ensues. It's hilarity.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. Hellboy's in it. I'm sold.
Hellboy's in it. Oh, and it's fantastic. I mean, crappy robots in rubber suits fighting kung fu style. Angelica Houston in crappy sci-fi.
Sounds excellent. Sounds excellent.
It's amazing. Amazing.
That brings us to our last segment.
Rise Hidden Gem.
My hidden gem this week is My Winnipeg. Guy Madden gives a personal portrait of his hometown, Winnipeg. This is in no way a standard-style documentary. The movie is presented in a fantasy kind of way. Basically, it's black and white throughout. He recaps his personal stories of coming out of Winnipeg, but he also gives interesting facts about Winnipeg that are unbelievable, such as the idea of it is the sleep capital, a sleepwalking capital of the world. Fact number one. Number two, the homeless cannot live on the streets in Winnipeg. They have to live on the rooftops of buildings, public buildings.
Wow.
How strange is this?
Yeah.
And they go on and on throughout this whole thing about such a strange town that it is. Again, it also in a fantasy way, he's trying to get out of the town. He's on this train. For a documentary fan that I know you are, Matt, My Winnipeg, a must rent. It's a hidden gem.
Excellent. You've never steered me wrong with the hidden gems. I'll put
who
it
knows anything
you.
About Winnipeg? I mean,
I know. You got to see this movie. Right. You'll really appreciate it, Charles. My Winnipeg.
All right.
So well, that does it this week, Matt.
Yeah, that brings us to the end. This is an interesting new format, and I'm excited about it.
So am I. Keep on listening to Cinema Jaw.
Yep.
And thanks to Stranger Days Radio.
Yeah, for having us on. You can also catch us on iTunes and at cinemajaw.com. Listen to us every week. We record right here at the Original Mothers. This is Matt Kay.
I'm Ry the Movie Guy. Thanks, Charles Klein.
Thanks for having me. Been an honor.
Thanks, Steve Reno.
Our producer, Steve Reno. We are done.